The counterintuitive idea that we're now living in a quiet time for news? I'm David Brancaccio. In New York, there's a new round today in the fight for the prize of the 21st Century Fox media properties. Disney's offer had been on the table for a while. Then Comcast NBC came in with a higher cash bid. Today, Disney raised its bid, a $70 billion offer so sweet that Fox acknowledges it's the one to beat now. The Fox board was already set to meet today. This is the Fox movie studio and a lot more, but not the politically significant Fox News channel. Now let's talk to a person who believes there's no news right now. How does she figure that? Susan Schmidt is Senior VP and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
Well, from an investor's perspective, there's a bit of a news void right now. We're waiting for that second week in July when companies will start to come out and talk about the earnings for the second quarter, how they're doing. But right now, we're in a lull. We don't have any big announcements from the Fed coming. We don't have any other big economic data that's going to be released. The market is going to be drifting along and really paying attention, not to facts, but to the various sound bites that cross ahead and attract their attention.
Well, some are going to be facts and sound bites. For instance, China trade. I mean, that's what's flashing across all my financial market screens.
It's a lot of noise thus far, not a lot of facts, which is why we didn't see a big permanent reaction to President Trump's most recent comments about tariffs and trade.
So, for instance, when he asks his staff to look into $200 billion more in tariffs, the idea is the market is not actually taking that all that seriously.
Right now, the market's taking that $200 billion and saying it's a number, it's posturing. And we don't have a way to interpret how that's going to flow through to actual profits. However, over time, there's a wear and tear from sound bites around trade that are going to start to impact the confidence of our CEOs and cause some concern to creep into the market.
Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, a story about technology that combats the scourge of food waste. It is a spray. Avocados with the new coating reach store shelves this week. From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris reports on this giant leap forward for guacamole.
Wearing this invisible plant-based coating, a whole avocado can now last up to four times longer. Andy Herrig with the Food Marketing Institute says despite the initial costs of this new product, the coating can ultimately be a big money saver for retailers if used on a wide variety of produce.
And their product is not going to end up in landfill. They can afford to have a little cost because that should help them on their overall supply chain.
The avocado coating was developed by Appeal Science in California, and researchers are trying to find natural ways to keep oranges from molding, tomatoes from rotting, and greens from browning. Chris Cochran is with ReFed, an advocacy group working to reduce food waste.
The average American family spends about $1,600 on food that they purchase and then throw away in their home.
Less waste, more savings. So avocado toast aside, or on the side, as the world's population keeps growing, enhanced peel technology is one possible way to feed more people around the globe. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible. On this program, we try to keep an eye on the future of work, given all the robots, automation, and artificial intelligence competing with humans. On my beat, I keep hearing about the poor radiologists. They pay all that money for medical school, yet software is getting better at reading x-rays and other scans. Well, today's something to cheer up our radiologist friends. Natasha Loader, healthcare correspondent for The Economist magazine, just wrote about this, arguing, what, Natasha, the radiologists are not doomed?
That's right. What surprised me was that the range of tasks that these AIs, these algorithms can do are actually quite narrow. And so while they'll certainly help radiologists to churn through lots of images, they will require a lot of supervision for various reasons that we could get into. And then there was the fact that actually radiologists do a number of other tasks, such as talking to patients, writing reports.
Perhaps the human radiologist is still very much in demand in the future.
Well, indeed. And the job actually could get quite a lot more interesting. I mean, if you think about it, When we talk about, you know, AI is taking over the world and sort of doing jobs that humans might do, we're talking about a more generalized intelligence, you know, one where you could just sort of walk in and it would be a doctor and it could do everything. And we're just so far away from that position that it's sort of meaningless to really talk about that in the context of what we're talking about here, which is a sort of very narrow AI.
What about the patients? When you're looking at artificial intelligence, for instance, is it going to just make things more expensive, or do you think we might actually get better?
Oh my God, that's such a loaded question. It's a huge sort of debate in its own right. I'm going to just step aside that little landmine.
So if I narrow my question to, will it make the care better? Might I get better with artificial intelligence mixed into medicine? What's the answer to that?
Absolutely, yes. There were a couple of stories that I landed on which really sort of highlighted how amazing AI could be in healthcare. And one of them was this story about using an AI in mammography. And the problem with mammography is that there's quite a large number of women who are called back for retesting because traditional radiology is not very good at picking out the people who need to come back versus those who don't. So there's a lot of what's called overdiagnosis and overtreatment. And if you could bring an AI in as a second reader, for example, you know, you could, in theory, improve the accuracy of current mammography as it's practiced.
Natasha Loader is healthcare correspondent for The Economist. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our ongoing coverage of robot-proof jobs and robots that aid our jobs is at marketplace.org/robotproof. I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.